Why don't we just read the psalm one more time before we dive into it. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He'll watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. I don't know if you've ever actually sang songs on the bus to a school excursion way back in the day, or if it's simply a cliche that you've seen on TV, but it is a great way to enjoy road trips, to pass the time. Hands up if you do that on family holidays. Enjoy a good sing-along. Few? Not enough. Not enough, I'm going to say. Something that I think every family should do. Something that every person should do, even if you're just going 2 minutes down the road to the shops. Just get into that zone of singing in the car. Israel loved to do this sort of thing. They would sing as they journeyed. We can see that Psalm 121 is one of those songs of ascents, they're called, which is a psalm for going up, as we've considered in the past. Up to where? Well, up to Jerusalem, to Zion, for religious feasts and festivals and other sorts of pilgrimages. And so these songs were for that purpose, for that, occasion. And unless you call your drive to church a pilgrimage, you'll know that we don't do those things anymore. We don't pilgrim to Jerusalem or to other places, to Geneva, say, or other favourite reformed places. We don't believe that they're necessary because we have complete access to God through Jesus Christ and through the Spirit of Unity, wherever we are. And so that's one of the reasons why the reformers sought to get rid of pilgrimages. And yet, on the other hand, our whole life is like a pilgrimage, isn't it? To the holy city, the new Jerusalem, to our life in glory. We journey towards that place, or to God himself. And so we are also going up to Zion in that sense. Psalm 121 is such a popular psalm for such good reason. It's often called the traveler's psalm. And it is a fantastic one to consider as we think about our pilgrimage as Christians. It encourages the journey with the reality of God's faithful watchfulness. And so whether you know this psalm well or whether you don't, we're just going to tonight, in many ways as our purpose, just be encouraged by. Consider who the God is that's at work in it and to be encouraged by what we learn about his place in our lives. Three things we'll ponder on. Firstly, looking at the one who watches over us. Secondly, the way that he watches over us. And thirdly, the extent that he watches over us. So firstly, the one. What does Psalm 121 say about this God who takes care of us? Well, for starters, it says that he is the maker of heaven and earth, the creator God, the one who made the whole universe. The psalm begins with those words, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? This could mean that he looks up with anticipation towards Jerusalem, the place that they're going, that place that is central in the worship and life of Israelites. Or it could mean, instead of anticipation, that he looks up with anxiety towards the mountains, because the mountains were often a place of danger, where bandits and robbers would dwell and attack and steal. Either way, whether it's anticipation or anxiety, what the eyes of his heart settle on is his maker. His vision goes beyond the hills, the mountains, goes beyond the city of Jerusalem and Zion, goes beyond Israel itself to the heavens and their maker. He recognizes from the start that the one who watches over him is the one who watched over all of creation when it was made, when he created in the beginning. The God who watches over us, who looks after us, who looks down on us, he is the same God who formed the whole world and galaxies and universe and beyond, And when he did that, it says in Genesis 1, he saw that it was good. He looked and he saw it was good. He watched everything come into being, and now he watches over tiny little insignificant us as well. In fact, the God who is above time can watch over us in the very same moments for him as he watches over that creation work. Isn't that incredible? He sees it all. It's in his scope. See, our physical vision as mere humans can be somewhat limited. We might see the mountains and the hills and other beautiful things of creation. But the eyes of our heart need to look beyond those mountains, beyond those wonderful sights, to the Maker who made them, the Maker of heaven and earth, and recognize his careful watch over us. And we can also sometimes see dangers and things in our future. The sin in the world, the worries of tomorrow, they loom ahead of us. There's threats all around at times. But the eyes of our heart must look beyond them as well, to the Maker, the one who makes every day, who creates every day at the beginning and gives it to us, the Maker of heaven and earth. He watches over us. And surely the one who made everything can deal with our scary futures. And then as well as the Maker, the one who watches over us is also the Lord, Yahweh. The one who watches over us watched over his work of creation, but also watched over Israel and has watched over his people throughout history. See, we have a caring God who cares for his people very much since the beginning. He looked after Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and the whole nation of Israel. He watched and cared by his faithfulness. And then he also looked after the fulfillment of Israel, Jesus Christ. And as God watched over his Son, as God watched over all those who came before, all those who came after, so he watches over you and me. In other words, the one who watches over us has had a very vast history of faithfulness and care. So important for us to know. So he is the one who watches over us. So you'll notice by now that we say that phrase a lot. And if you look at the psalm, it says over and over, he watches over you, the one who watches over you. Secondly, the way that he watches over you. How is it that our God cares for us and looks after us? Well, the most general way that he does that, as we see in verses 1 and 2, is that he helps us, that he is our helper. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. That word doesn't really need much explanation. When you help someone, you're there to assist them. You're there to help take care of them, to look after them. It could be something very specific in a time of sickness or great need, or it could be something much more general. The word that's used here in the psalm is the same word that's used in Genesis chapter 2 when God determines to give Adam a helper by creating Eve. And see, her help would not just be practical help, but also relationship and companionship and togetherness. And God watches over us as one in relationship with us. He cares for us because he's close to us. It's not just about him doing things for us, but that he walks with us and he assists us and he helps us along the way. He is our helper. And then in verses 3 and 4, he's also our guide. If you've ever been on a cave tour, you know what a guide does. They have a great responsibility over each person they're guiding, taking people through dark, rocky, sometimes confined caves and tunnels. They're responsible for everyone's safety, making sure they don't trip, don't fall, don't get lost. And this is the kind of guide that we have in God. He takes care of our safety. As it says there in verse 3, he will not let your foot slip. He will keep you from stumbling or tripping or falling over. And God is our ultimate guide because he can do these things in phenomenal ways. because he's God. He is not a mere human. He keeps us safe and prevents us from getting lost, and he keeps us even from death. Not just physically, obviously, but spiritually. On our spiritual journey, keeping our spirits safe. And he is ultimate too, because he never slumbers. He never sleeps. He never loses attention, never gets distracted, never takes his eyes off us. God is constantly alert, constantly on the lookout, constantly watching our every step. No human God could ever be that good. But God is. And then as well as being our helper and our guide, he is also in verses 5 through to 7, our guard, our protector. You know how important figures in the world often have personal guards or bodyguards even, because there's always someone who's seeking to harm them, some enemy or other. And these guards might even go to the extreme of taking a bullet for that person or whatever it takes to protect their lives. And see, because we are important to him, God is our great guard. Far better than any human guard, he can protect us like no other. Whether from human enemies or from the attacks of the devil or the seduction of the world, the Lord watches out for us in that way. Even when he allows suffering for our bodies, even when we go through things that we feel like we cannot deal with, he will protect us. He will protect our souls. He will guard us against the attacks of sin and evil and brokenness. And if I was to drive the metaphor even harder and ask, well, does God take a bullet for us? Well, then we'd have to say yes. He's already done that. In the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, he took the wrath of sin on our behalf so that we could be protected, even from eternal death. We have to ask, don't we, that can we really believe that the eternal God, maker of heaven and earth, acts as a personal guard to us, serves us in that way, even to the point of sacrificing himself? It's incredible. Something we need to dwell on over and over. And all that on top of being our helper, our guide, what great ways he watches over us. And then thirdly, there's the extent God watches over us. Just how extensive, how far does his help and guidance and protection and care go? Well, as we mentioned earlier, it's from the very beginning, isn't it? From the very beginning of the world, even, he's been watching over us because he is above and beyond time. And that means that he's been watching over us from our own beginning. As we saw before in Psalm 139, in the wombs of our mothers, he was there, even knitting us together, knowing our inmost being. From day dot, God has watched over you. Even on those days where you felt like, surely not. God is there, watching, caring for all of us. And it's not half-heartedly either. It says that he watches over your comings and your goings. That is every single year, every single month, every week and day and hour and minute and even every second. God watches over you in all of them. When you're at home, when you're at work, when you're at school, when you're asleep, when you're awake, God is there watching over you. Again, as Psalm 139 says, there is no place that you can go that he does not or cannot look after you. That's why Psalm 121, as we said before, has been popularly called the traveling psalm, because God is watching and keeping you safe and protecting you every step of whatever journey you may be on. No matter where on the road, no matter where on the globe you are, he is there, watching your feet as you walk, or perhaps your bike as you cycle, or your car as you drive, maybe your boat as you sail, or the plane that you're flying in. There is no place that he cannot, that he does not look after you. And then this care carries on into the future as well. In verses 7 and 8, the psalmist changes from a present tense, he watches over you, to a future tense. He will watch over you, both now and forevermore. No matter where you've been or where you're going, he's watching. We know that this life is a pilgrimage, it's a journey, and that as so, it's not always easy. There are difficult paths, there is threatening danger, there are trials ahead, and yet God will watch over us. It's not that we won't face difficulty or pain, but that God will help us, guide us, guard us as we go through them. He'll never leave us on our own. Eugene Peterson, in his book on the Songs of Ascent, he says these things. He says, the Christian life is not a quiet escape to a garden where we can walk and talk uninterruptedly with our Lord, nor is it a fantasy trip to a heavenly city where we can compare blue ribbons and gold medals with others who have made it to the winner's circle. The Christian life is going to God. And in going to God, Christians travel the same ground that everyone else walks on. They breathe the same air. They drink the same water. They shop in the same stores and read the same newspapers. They're citizens under the same governments. They pay the same prices for groceries. They fear the same dangers and are subject to the same pressures. They get the same distresses. They're buried in the same ground. But the difference is that each step we walk, each breath we breathe, we know we are preserved by God. We know we are accompanied by God. We know we are ruled by God. And therefore, no matter what doubts we endure or what accidents we experience, the Lord will preserve us from evil. He will keep our life. Some amazing words that sum it up there. He watches over us. He helps us and guides us and guards us. He keeps us. We belong to him. He preserves us. I want to finish by reading the last passage in Romans chapter 8, which is that encouraging promise that we cannot be separated from the love and the care of our God and his son Jesus. Paul says there, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It's God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you for these amazing promises. Your faithfulness, your watchfulness, your care. And Lord, again, we recognize that there are times we don't acknowledge it. There are times we think it's a lie. There are times that we can't believe it. But help us tonight to believe, Lord, that you are there. Have been for every step of the journey and will be for every step that is to come. We thank you, Lord, for your help, for guiding us, for guarding us. And we pray for the same things into the future. We ask, Lord, that in the trials and the struggles that we face, that we'll rely on you, that we'll accept your help. That we'll recognize that it is you who have given us life and that our souls are kept and preserved by you. against whatever comes for us. That nothing can separate us from your love, from your care, from your grace. Father, may that hope, that reality, may it bolster us and strengthen us. May it give us what we need to stand firm and to walk the journey towards you, towards the holy city, towards eternity, trusting that you will get us there. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.